Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show as we are now about an hour and 40 minutes away from kickoff as there is a delay because of air quality in Regina has been all over the place throughout the day from the morning, and then it got better and then it's gotten worse. But now they are expecting it to start to get better as we get closer to now a 7:45 at kickoff at Mosaic Stadium. The players likely on the field at around 7:10. Just so you know and you're aware, if you take Rider Transit, that'll be running same as usual all the way up to the new kickoff at 7:45. So you don't have to worry about the Rider Transit getting on it early and then sitting around for 45 minutes or so at the stadium. So you can catch it as usual ahead of a 7:45 kickoff. If there's any further delay, we will pass that along, but they are expecting this smoke to clear over the next half an hour, 45 minutes, going into the 7 o'clock hour. But right now, it is time for Who's Gonna Eat?
Who's Gonna Eat? With Belton Johnson.
Presented by Sherwood Co-op.
1, 2, 3, let's eat!
All right, Belton Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every week, we look at the matchups. The matchups Belton looks at and likes for each side. And then we get to his tailgating tip. And if you follow him on the social media platform of X, do you post it on Instagram too or Facebook or anything?
Facebook, Instagram.
All right.
Blue Sky, Blue, or...
Blue Sky, too? All right, Belton.
I'm on that. I'm good for you. I'm learning still, right?
Like, look at that. TikTok?
Not yet. I don't know how to operate TikTok.
We can all do a dance right now.
We got time. But his tailgating tip, if you follow him, you've seen what we're about to eat. But let's start off with the matchups. Where do you want to begin, Belton?
Let's start with the Rider defense, Jamie.
Rider's defense. Who's eating for the Rough Riders defense tonight?
I'm going to go Mr. Rose.
Against his former team.
Yeah.
You think that matters?
Oh, it matters.
When you get released in the offseason?
Players always say, no, it's no big deal.
Oh, okay.
I never believed them for a minute, though. You're right.
It matters.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first game against the Riders you were in Hamilton?
I remember it like yesterday, Jamie.
Did it go well for the Tiger Cats?
We didn't win the game, but I did. How can I say it? You know, Coach Belfay, you know, I think I had got the award for the week for not dirtiest player, but just.
most aggressive player?
There you go.
All right, Darryl Davis. Who you think?
There's a lot of ex-Stampeders on this team, just like there's quite a few ex-Riders on the other squad, too, right? That's how the CFL works quite often, right? You only got 9 teams, so you end up playing former teams. Malik Carney's one of those guys, and I think, yeah, he's going to... I think Vernon Adams Jr. is going to run into his arms a couple of times.
All right, Malik Carney, 2 sacks this season as he has, and a ton of pressures as well from Malik Carney off the edge. They don't throw him the ball enough, but I'm going to say Roland Milligan Jr. is going to eat tonight. I think VAJ is going to throw a couple of deep balls, and Roland Milligan's going to bring 1 or 2 down tonight.
Watching him at practice, man, he catches the ball as well as a receiver.
Yeah.
You know, the way you talk Belton about that one game when the interception he got and how turned his hips to go back to the ball, he did that in practice one time this week, too. It was just, it's amazing. And he goes up and catches it like a receiver. We always joke defensive backs are receivers who can't catch the football, right? So they end up playing DB and knock the ball down. Not this guy. He turns, catches it at all angles, and, man, he can go high to get a football. So good choice, anyways, what I'm saying.
There you have it. We have Roland Milligan Jr., Mike Rose, and Malik Carney as our picks. Who's going to eat? Where are we going next?
Let's go to the Stampeders. Let's go defensive side.
The defensive side of the Calgary Stampeders. Who do you like having a big game for the Stamps tonight, Belton?
I'm going to go with my I'm going to say Moncrief, man.
Derek Moncrief?
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Got the family all there.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, right? He's got family here. He's from here. You know, like, I think he wants to put on a good show.
Bit of a rebound. When he left here, thought he was done.
Yeah. When in Edmonton, he looked out of sorts a little bit. But this season, he looks like the all-star guy we saw in Saskatchewan this season. But Daryl, who do you think's eating?
Well, we're talking about ex-Rough Riders. Miles Brown is there. Let's see how he does against he might be getting against a couple of changes on the offensive line. The Riders have had a couple of changes. So I think Miles Brown will want to show the Riders that they should have offered him a contract.
Okay. I don't like saying it, but there's got to be a game where we see a little bit of a blemish in this offensive line as quickly as Trevor Harris gets the ball out. And Florin Arimolade is one of the most dynamic pass rushers in this league. So I'm going to go number 7 of the Calgary Stampeders.
You just like saying his name.
He's a good player, man.
Yeah, he's a good player with a cool name.
He was in Calgary, then he went to Toronto, now back in Calgary. But, Belton, where are you going next? Offense of the Stampeders.
Yes.
And who do you like?
I like Philpott, man.
Jalen Philpott.
I do. I like him. Speed.
That's the one thing
with the Riders, the defense. They've been, right, like, and again, like you said, Vernon Adams, he's that guy. Either he's going to throw you 6 picks or 6 touchdowns,
sure,
right?
Sure can, yeah.
So the Canadian, Jalen Philpott, chasing his brother down, Tyson, out of Montreal, who's just ahead of him in the rankings for receiving this season in the CFL. Daryl, who do you like on the Stampeders offense?
I'm going to stick with my philosophy of ex players. Isn't there a receiver at the Stampeders used to play with Saskatchewan?
Tevin Jones.
That's him. Number 4.
Daryl Davis going with the former players here. Mm. I'm waiting for it. It hasn't happened yet. Dominic Rhymes.
Good choice.
Has to have a breakout game. He hasn't really been that big play receiver yet that we saw with Vernon Adams Jr. with the BC Lions.
This would be the game.
Yep.
Against that.
I think they'll try to line him up on the other side, away from Milligan Jr., though, and on the other side of it. But we'll see how it plays out. But let's wrap up who's going to eat before our tailgating tip with the Rough Riders offense. Belton, who do you like? I know who you like. What am I talking about?
Are we going to put Olette down, or who are you going with?
Go for
well,
it.
Well, you want the Thor, right? You want
Man, giddy up. I want to see that mullet fly, James. Oh, man.
Are you going to pick? Is he going to be?
Like,
you're Sam Emilis. I picked Sam Emilis, I think, every game last week or last year. Are you going to pick AJ Olette every week this week?
Who's leading the league in rushing?
AJ Olette is. Daryl, who you got on Eaton for the Riders offense?
I can't really carry on with my ex unless I pick Kadeem Carey here, but I don't think he's going to. I said 5 carries, so I don't think he's going to be the
Tommy Stevens.
That would be a cool one. Yeah. What a great interview he is. Hey, they got a lot of guys who are gold in that locker room now. I think Keyshawn Johnson is going to just peeking in at practice this week. I think that he's the guy.
Keyshawn Johnson leading the Riders in receiving. No, I'm going to take a flyer. I think I say him last week? Joe Robustelli.
Yep.
After his preseason, there's something there. I know there's something there. I've seen it. And I'm waiting for the breakout game from Joe Robustelli.
He's going to be your Emilis this year.
Yeah, I guess so. And then the week I don't pick him and Daryl picks him, he'll have 190 yards receiving. That's how this works on who's going to eat most of the time. But now we find out what we're eating with Belton Johnson's tailgating tip. With Sherwood Co-op, what do you got?
All right, so what we have for you fellas today is bacon-wrapped chicken lollipops. And I'm going to tell you, some strenuous work to make that chicken into a make the leg into a lollipop. But I hope it'll be worth it, I promise you. And just picked up the chicken legs there from
Daryl's
Sherwood.
He's not even going to wait.
Just looking at it. You're right off over us here. I'm just inhaling it here. That's good. They look pretty good, Bill.
Picked up the chicken legs and the bacon from Sherwood Co-op, of course. And so what we do is, again, with the chicken leg, you have to, how can I say it, you had to have a little bit of surgery, right? You know, to pull the skin off there and everything and just pull the meat down a bit to make it look like a lollipop, right? So, and what I did was use, what was it, like a brown sugar candy rub seasoning. Ooh. And I covered every what there.
Every nook and cranny.
There we go, there. got it all covered up in that. And then the bacon. Wrapped the bacon around the leg there, secured it with a toothpick, and then we used more seasoning there.
Mm-hmm.
Got that all seasoned up and everything. The next thing we did is get the smoker going, I think it was 275, I think I had it set at, and just let them smoke for about 2 hours or so. After that 2 hours, they're up. My wife had bought me a brand new bottle of barbecue sauce. It's like a Nashville hot honey or something barbecue sauce. I was like, ooh, I think that'll go good with that. So use that barbecue sauce, baste the chicken legs on there, and put them back on the smoker there and let them continue to smoke till for another, about 45 minutes or so. Just a slow smoke. I think I even turned the smoker down about 250 and I just let them go, right? And after that, I pulled them off the smoker, and guess what, Darryl?
It's eating time.
He said that quick.
He's trying to get this segment over so he can start eating.
But that's it. Bacon wrap chicken lollipops.
You can see the images on Belton Johnson's social media. We're going to dig in.
Yeah.
Take a quick timeout. I can tell by the Environment Canada air quality map, it is improving in Regina. It's gone down to a 10. They need it to get just below an 8 for kickoff, but they have an hour and a half, about an hour of that. But it's starting to come down pretty quick now when it comes to the air quality index in the Queen City. Of course, the Riders, the Stampeders, 7:45, the new kickoff time is the schedule. We have a lot more coming up right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. It's always the quietest commercial break during the Green Zone. A pregame show is after the tailgating tip and who's going to eat segment.
But don't y'all like the sticky?
Yeah.
Finger licking.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yes.
When it comes to barbecue, man.
That's good stuff.
Throw out the forks, the spoons, just
dig in.
So much fun.
Right? Yep.
Although we're not supposed to eat in the control room, right?
No.
No, we were out of the control room.
In the lobby. Right. Thanks for reminding us.
We're going to continue on here on the Green Zone pregame show. About an hour and 20 minutes away from kickoff, delayed until 7:45. But they're continuing to monitor the air quality. The players are to take the field as they're looking at it just after 7 o'clock. So they'll need the air quality to continue to drop a little bit. It is around Regina, but if there's another delay, we will pass that along. Let's get right back to bold predictions here on the Green Zone, a pregame show, where we look at some of the big storylines going into this game and tell you what we think might happen at Mosaic Stadium between the Riders and the Calgary Stampeders. Trevor Harris mentioned this stat earlier in the week. Did you know the Calgary Stampeders defense has not allowed a touchdown in the first three quarters of any of their games so far this season? In their first four games, the only time they've given up touchdowns has been in the fourth quarter. So.
And the Rough Riders have what? Scored first only once, right?
Mm-hmm. They're a little bit slower starting team.
Okay.
Third quarter, they really start to pick it up.
Okay.
So. The Rough Riders' first touchdown of the game. Who will get it? When will they get it? How will they get it? And how many yards is it for the Rough Riders to score their first touchdown of the game?
Keyshawn Johnson, first quarter, 10 minutes in.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
25 yards.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Well, I said he was going to eat, so I better stick with him.
Did you say 10 minutes in?
10 minutes in, yeah.
So in the first quarter.
Five minutes left in the first.
Okay. 25 yards.
A receiving touchdown.
Yep.
And 25 yards. Whew. Okay. Do you have?
Oh, I got it.
Go ahead.
Tommy Stevens.
Yep.
Midway through the second quarter, so.
7:30?
Yep. Left. And then what was the other part there?
Run.
Oh, yeah. QB sneak.
From 1 yard? Two yards?
Let's go 2 yards.
2 yard run from Tommy Stevens. Okay. First touchdown for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders is going to be AJ Ouellette from 5 yards out. I'll also say run, and it'll come in the first 5 minutes of the game. 10 minutes left in the first quarter. They score quick tonight, Darryl.
Okay. Well, they have to. I think that's the big plan, right? Yeah. Gets everybody. Well, they'd like to score early every game, of course, and get the fans behind them. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's a little extra motivation tonight.
So that is another bold prediction, is the Calgary defense. That has been a surprise this season, right, fellas?
Calgary's defense. Oh, gosh,
that defense, like you look at it, you'll hear Kadeem Carey talk about a little later on, but he talks about, I looked at the film and I recognize the guys because they've been around the league, but not in Calgary.
Yep.
Miles Brown hasn't played there. Moncrief hasn't.
Yeah.
Kyle Wilson hasn't. Damon Webb hasn't. Green is new. You know, the holdovers from last year's Stamps defense, slim.
Yeah.
So, and that's impressive to have a defense gel that quickly or play that well, Darryl, early as they have.
You're right. Yeah, they need to play more in rhythm, it seems, sometimes on the offense. And to get that, you have to – they're changing personnel a lot of times, right? The down and distance is changing. So the fact that they've played this well, and you're right, you look these guys over and you say – he wasn't there last year. He wasn't there last year either. So credit to their coaches and their scouts too, and John Huffnagel and Dave Dickinson for putting this roster together. I didn't think this was going to be as strong as it was, and that's what surprised us, how strong Calgary's defense has been. I know Vernon Adams Jr. makes them stronger on offense, but bringing in these guys, we didn't think that they were going to be as efficient as they are. 21 points a game is a pretty solid defense for in the CFL.
And I'll tell you what opened my eyes is when they played the Bombers, right? Because when I saw that game, that made me just like, okay, well, look like the Stamps have a run. And, you know, and the pick six is there, right?
Like,
they're
against Zach Collaros, that's not easy.
No. Right? And they got a good team, man.
They do. The Stampeders, they are 3-1 for a reason. As they will try to end the four-game winning streak to start the year for the Rough Riders. Of course, they handed the Bombers their first loss of the season, now trying to do the same to the Rough Riders. Jamie Nye, Darryl Davis, Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter Darryl Davis, and Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson with you here on the Green Zone pregame show. We have a lot coming up until that 7:45 rescheduled kickoff, including a coach's chair visit with head coach Corey Mace inside the green and white. We'll also get an Antoine Brooks Jr. profile interview with Britton Gray. That is all ahead right here on the Green Zone on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. This is the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Darryl Davis, Belton Johnson with you on this Friday night. Getting ready for Friday Night Football at Mosaic Stadium, which will be a little bit delayed tonight. Once again, they have changed the kickoff time to 7:45. The air quality still does have to improve before warm-ups in about 45 minutes from now. But the air quality is now down to a 10.
Better.
Okay. About an hour ago, it was like a 13. So you can see, and we're watching the map in Moose Jaw that went down real quick about an hour ago. So they're expecting similar things to happen as this smoke will, they believe, quickly clear out of Regina when it starts to clear out. Moose Jaw about 2 hours ago was at a 16. It's now at a 3. So that's the example they're kind of using on this system of smoke clearing out. But right now, a quick little chat as we go inside the green and white. I was able to chat with former Stampeder Kadeem Carey. First off, talking about patience in a situation for a veteran and an all-star to, again, wait his turn.
This lesson was learned, you know, back a couple years when I was younger. So this process, I just went back to what happened last year, just being patient. I know when the time will come, you know, no matter how it came, you know, just believing in the coaches. But now it's time, so go out there and do your thing.
Yeah, when it's against Calgary, you miss Toronto. How nice is it that you get a shot at the former team?
It's awesome. I mean, it's awesome. Just to get out here and strap up with the boys, get another shot, another opportunity with them. I mean, this is a hot team, so I just love to go out there, like I always said, to play with great players, to be surrounded by a great quarterback and a great line. And, you know, to go out there and tack it up against my great team with a great force behind me, I mean, it's going to be fun.
After the Grey Cup and the comments came out on three down, did you hear from former teammates, coaches, anything going, what's up with that?
I actually did. I heard from a lot of them. I mean, a lot of them agreed on what I said. And as you can see, a lot of changed over there. So bravos to them, and I'm looking forward to playing them.
Is it weird to see the changeover? Like, I kind of expected the way the production has gone, but it's
I mean, I looked at the whole
former teammates, right?
I'm studying the defense. It's not a name I know out there. So, I mean, they completely wiped at their defense. Fred's start there. So I'm excited to go against a new bunch of group and, you know, show them dudes what I got and show what 4-5 can do out there.
How special is this tandem? Like, AJ's leading the league in rushing. You're a former guy who's done the same. Like, there's no rest for this defense if one guy gets a breather.
Oh, yes. I mean, we're training every day just to remind ourselves and to remind the defenses when we step out there as a unit that it's going to be trouble every time we touch the ball. I mean, we have a great front line in front of us. I mean, so it was just when we get in open space, it's time to show our ability.
I need to ask you this because you experienced it in Calgary. It's happening here in Saskatchewan. It doesn't matter the injuries on the offensive line. They don't miss a beat. Mm-hmm. It happened in Calgary. How is it what Mark and Edwin and these guys do to allow that offense to keep on clicking?
I mean, it starts from the whole front office. I mean, bringing in the guys that could, you know, dominate the defense. And then when one goes down, having the offensive Mueller and all of those dudes, having them ready to step in there when their time is ready. I mean, it's great just to see a young man come in there when their time is called, just go ham and go crazy. So as a veteran, seeing that, man, I'm all for those young bucks and just getting after it.
That is Kadeem Carey of the Saskatchewan Roughriders as we're inside the green and white belt. We've talked a lot about this offensive line not missing a beat, and mm-hmm. Kadeem talked about it as well. How important is that on making sure guys are getting reps at every position for any situation?
It's important, right? Because you never know when your number's going to be called at all. And especially with the O-line, right? And I'd say running back because, you know, when I think running back, O-line, they're all one unit, right? When it comes to pass protection, run blocking, you know, the O-line, they're the guys that make the running lanes. And that running back has to know what combination blocks and all that stuff to happen. And the Riders, their O-line, and, you know, credit Coach Harrison there, right, the O-line coach, he's done a hell of a job, man. You have to go back to last season and, you know, they laid a great foundation. And this year, man, they've just blown the freaking door off, you know, these first four games here. And again, with those guys getting the reps, especially when I think O'Letting, Kadeem Carey, I mean, you know, Kadeem Carey, he's no slouch running back, right? Like, you got to respect him, you know, O'Let, same thing. So I think, you know, with Coach Mace, they have to keep these guys happy and, you know, like involved in everything. And so, yeah, they got to get, you know, Olette will have the most carries for sure, you know, during practices. But, you know, I got to think Kadeem, he's carrying his weight too. And especially this week, I don't know, you heard Mace earlier, right? Like, yeah. It's going to be a battle. It's a war in the trenches tonight.
They can save a little wear and tear on A.J. Oled by putting in Carey, who really sounds like he wants to play. But you're right. Look at that offensive line. I don't know if Brammer was going to play right guard right from the start. Yeah. It looked like probably. But for the most part, Hardrick's the only guy who was in the spot that you would have said in November, December, this is the way this offensive line is going to line up, that Hardrick could right tackle, and the other guys are all mixed around. Yep. They've had to move over, change positions, fill in, get a start because somebody else is hurt. It's one of the most impressive things that we've noticed on this football team over the last 2 years anyway. Mm-hmm. They weren't able to do it 3 years ago, and that's probably what ended up costing the coaching staff their job. This coaching staff knows how to fill in, and it has a lot to do with what Kadeem Carey said. They bring in the right people. Yep. They teach them well. They teach them the system, and they've obviously brought in good people, but they obviously have a very good offensive line coach too.
Yes, Edwin Harrison, as Corey Mace calls him, should get Coach of the Year.
Yes, that's what they call him, Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year is Edwin Harrison, as he's got this group, again, with another change, as Zach Fry will come in for the injured Trevion Tate, goes to the six-game injured list with a shoulder injury. He was seen in a sling at practice this week after the bye week, being injured against BC. So, yeah, that's a young left side, Belton.
It is.
Daniel Johnson and Zach Fry do not have a lot of games when it comes to their combined experience. Well, even Jacob Brammer doesn't have a lot of experience. So Logan Ferlin and Jamarcus Hardrick are the key veterans to this one. But what you've kind of liked Daniel Johnson.
I do.
Your brother coached him at Purdue, I do believe.
And again, I feel like he's a weekly topic between me and my brother because my brother was talking this week, and I was just telling him about Johnson there. Like, man, he is playing well. And my brother's like, I told you, he is a dog. He is a beast. He is an animal, you know. And I was like, okay. And
those are good things, right?
Yeah. And, you know, my brother really loved him at Purdue there. And I think, if I remember right, I think Purdue had, you know, they didn't have a great record or anything, but they led at least the Big Ten and rushing and everything, right? And Johnson would have been a part of that. And all I kept thinking was like, oh, man, the Riders, they love running the ball. And Johnson, you know, from Purdue. Mm-hmm. So he's aggressive. He knows what he's doing. And when you say young, I get the experience part. But at the same time, that youth and energy, he's got to prove himself. He wants to be known and seen, right? Same with Fry. And again, Coach Harrison, that foundation is laid. So they just come in, and as long as they fit that mold, they're going to be successful, fella.
Kind of goes backwards, too, because that's the left side. That's the blind side, which they say is most important because the right-handed throwing quarterback doesn't see those guys coming from that side. Two Canadians on that side, right? Pretty interesting. There aren't many Canadian left tackles in the Canadian Football League. So
that's true there. Yeah.
Gene Mikowski. One of the best.
Yeah.
Was Walby left tackle?
Yeah.
Out of Winnipeg. But pretty rare now that you see that one. Of course, the game is delayed 45 minutes, 7:45. So just over an hour away from kickoff. And I keep on hitting a refresh on the air quality map that Environment Canada has. They have live air quality monitors. As that air quality is about to dip just below 10 as we get closer to the time the players are supposed to be on the field in a half an hour. So we'll see. They might have to delay it another 15 minutes or so, but we'll keep you up to date if there is a further delay. Meanwhile, here on the Green Zone, we'll continue going inside the green and white. You'll hear from Marcus Sales. We still have the coach's chair with head coach Corey Mace and a lot more to come before a newly scheduled kickoff between the 3-1 Stamps and the host 4-0 Saskatchewan Rough Riders. This is the Green Zone pregame show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. This is the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson as a delay for the Rider game pushed back to a 7:45 local kickoff, but they still do need to monitor the air quality in Regina because it has not yet gotten to the level of even for the teams and players to do a full warm-up. I don't think they can even be cleared to do that yet. Ahead of a 7:45 kickoff. They were planning to be on the field at 7:10 for warm-up, so that's still a half an hour away from now. And the air quality is now at a 10. They need it to go down 2.5 more points into the 7 range before they take to the field at Mosaic.
Need a better defense.
They need to bring in the those little hand fans and put it next to the air quality monitor and just see how that works.
Just let's go. Just want it clear.
Yeah. Okay. It will. Yeah. As we've been telling you, outside the city, it's starting to drop quite considerably, and some monitors around Regina actually are in the 7 range right now. So we'll continue to bring you up to date if there's any further things to pass along here on the Green Zone, a pregame show. But we're going to stay inside the green and white, and we heard from the offensive side with Kadeem Carey. And now here is the veteran defensive back, Marcus Sales, on what he has seen from Vernon Adams Jr.'s insertion into the Calgary lineup.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can watch. He brings a different type of explosion. You know, he can be able to go through his reads. He's able to run out the pocket, make plays. He's able to throw off his back foot and, you know, pretty much give his receivers a chance to get the ball. So, you know, this year they got a better veteran group of receivers that he's able to throw to, and, you know, it seems like it's coming together for them.
Yeah, well, how conscious are you of what the guy behind center can do? If it's a pocket passer who isn't that mobile, but when it's Vernon, what does he do for a secondary that might have to keep on your coverage for not 2 or 3 seconds, but maybe 4, 5, 6?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, we pretty much got to make sure we play team defense. You know, one guy can't, you know, mess up his zone or leave his man. You know, we pretty much got to play through the whistle, and because he's able to extend play. So, you know, for us, I mean, if he's able to get him off his spot, if we're able to, you know, cloudy up his reads and make him a little bit more, you know, antsy in the pocket, I mean, we feel like we can be successful that way.
What else are they doing, especially with Dedrick Mills? Like, how much is that dynamic when you have a rushing quarterback but also a guy in a run game as effective as Dedrick has been early this season?
Yeah, I mean, it makes their offense, you know, unpredictable. You know, if he's been able to run the ball and he's had success at it this year, and, you know, with also VA being able to run, you know, it brings a different dynamic. They can do read options. They can, you know, do sally game, get stuff off play actions, things like that. But, again, like at the end of the day, I mean, if we're able to play our rules, I mean, our rules take care of themselves. And, you know, we feel like as long as we do that, we'll be successful.
After a 4-0 start, a bye week, how important was that bye week to kind of reassess, look over your tendencies, those types of things, to even improve on what you've already put out there for the first 4?
Yeah, I mean, at least I know, like, for us, I mean, we kind of break down things game each segment, like 4 games, so that we know we got off on a 4-0 start, which is good. But now we're going into our second quarter of the season, and, you know, now it's a whole new ball game again. You know, we're going against a team who's 3-1, and, you know, potentially I think it's for tying in the West or 1 in the West. And, you know, we just got to be prepared for all levels. We got to be prepared for any wrinkles, any, you know, trickery stuff that they may want to do, just because it's an important game for both sides. And, you know, I feel like our coaches prepared us this week. We had a good week of practice, and, you know, we'll be ready.
I'm curious on the success. A lot. The winning percentage for teams coming off a bye week is usually a lot higher than the team they're playing. Why is that?
I mean, honestly, it gives everybody a chance to reset. You know, everybody gets to go home, see their families, and, you know, come back, and, you know, we're pretty much got our bodies back right and things like that. So, you know, it also gives us time to watch, I mean, an extra game on them. So, I mean, we got a little bit more film on them when they don't got anything on us. So, I mean, I feel like a bye week came at a perfect time for us, and, you know, hopefully we'll be able to show something on film this week.
That is Marcus Sales, the veteran defensive back. Belton, speak more to that, because we saw the Stampeders, they came off a bye, they beat up on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. You see it time and time again, a team comes off a bye, the Riders are coming off their bye, and they just look a little bit more crisp. Why?
I like what Sale said there, right? It kind of hits the reset button, and, you know, those guys who, you know, from far away from the States, maybe they get to go home, see their loved ones, and, you know, just seeing the family and everything, right? And then knowing what they got to do when they get back, right? And, yeah, and the other team, they don't have film on the Riders at all from last week. Guess why? The Riders were on the bye, right? And whereas the Riders, they're able to watch the film last week of the Stamps because, I mean, it was just a game to play, right? And I think the rest, more than anything, right, is just – it's just good, like that reset button.
Yep. They're 4-1 coming off byes the last 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. So they know how to do it. That's a pretty good record coming off byes. You do. The reset is important. The studying is important. The rest. And they won their first 4 games. So what a great time for a bye. Psychologically, they've gone right from training camp right through. So it's a tough grind.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're 4-0. It's so much nicer to be on a bye coming off a win, or especially coming off four victories in a row, than if they lost their last one. That one's stewing in them and they don't feel comfortable.
Yep.
This way you come back inspired and ready to go. You know, I think there's a real difference between a team that's losing and coming back from a bye and a team that's winning and coming back from the bye. And they're going to be on a high and rested. And they get their quarterback returning to the starting spot. Having Trevor Harris return is a huge thing for this football team. Advantage Saskatchewan because of the schedule right now.
Yeah. And the bye weeks this year for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are a lot better than last year. No 11-game stretch between bye weeks. They play four, they have a bye week. They play another four, they have a bye week. They play another like five, they have a bye week. They play another, like then it's the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So that worked out real well. No criticisms from the schedule maker for the Rough Riders this year.
Yeah, they're pretty decent scheduled for them. There's been some weird ones in the CFL.
Yeah.
You know what I got a kick out of this week? I got to tell you, though, all we've heard since the beginning of the season is Saskatchewan fans especially saying, that's horrible. Imagine playing a home game in Saskatchewan on a Thursday night. That's just ridiculous. And now they're all mad there was no Thursday night football last night. So it doesn't make sense to me. Do you want Thursday night football or not? Once in a while, you have to have a game in your hometown because you need a Thursday night game so the rest of the country can watch.
We need a 10th team, and then they can always have Thursday night.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell y'all right now, if it was me, we'd have football every night.
Good way to spend some time, isn't it? If you're cooking every night, let's do it.
Right on. I'm in. I'm game. If there's a tailgating tip from Belton Johnson.
Yep.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get back to bold predictions. Of course, Daryl has a pretty nice lead on Belton and I right now in our bold prediction segment. Let's focus in on Mario Alford.
Mm.
The dynamic return man for the Riders once again.
Yep.
As all-purpose yards, he's averaged 187 per game.
Wow.
Leads the league. How many punt return yards? How many kick return yards? How many missed field goal return yards for a total for Mario Alford? So punt, kick, missed field goal, then I'll add them all up for your total. Unless you want a different one for the total yards than that. 187 yards per game. So you have to consider with punt and kick return, how many touchdowns are the Stampeders going to get?
Yes, that's part of it. How many field goals are they going to make or miss? Because Paredes is a very good
Because if they
kicker.
Kick a field goal, Paredes you can start kicker, at the 40 and you're not kicking off, or they stop them a lot and there's a lot more punt returns.
I think.
And Paredes has missed three field goals this season.
Good point. That's true, too. Usually you think of him as Mr. Clutch all the time, but yeah, he started a little slowly.
I'm ready, Jamie.
You're ready? Let's go. Punt return yards?
Punt return yards. Let's go 73.
73?
Yep.
Kick return yards?
100.
Woo. Woo.
10.
Do you think he's takes one to the house? Apparently, he's taking one to the house.
He's taking one to the house.
And he missed zero for missed field goal returns for a total.
He's a good kicker, man.
183.
He's missed three this year, though, so.
And what was the average?
187. So you're right on average.
Okay, wow.
187, you say 183.
65 punt return yards.
65.
Let's go about the same. Let's go 65 kickoff return. I think there might only be one or two kickoff returns.
Missed field goals?
This one might be. Let's go 45. I think there's going to be one.
So you're at 130, 175 Mario Alford. Punt return yards, I'm going 100. Kick return yards, I'm going 50. I'm going with Belton with zero for a flat 150.
So that means if he gets any missed field goal returns, I get the point. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Okay. So I do too.
If he gets 1 yard, though, Belton, shouldn't we get the point?
Yeah.
So 22 and a half.
You need 22 and a half. Okay. We've reconsidered.
Yeah.
You're in the lead. Give us some charity.
That's fair.
Well, I should have prices righted him.
Yeah.
Did 1 yard for a missed field goal return. But we'll see what the price of Price is Right stat is for Belton Johnson tonight.
Oh, I can't wait to that segment, man. I look forward to it every time.
Just to see the ridiculous. What was it? Most points with Brent Lawther. And someone's like, three.
Oh, yeah.
From last year, it was 201 was the right answer. But coming up next here on the Green Zone, we'll get to the coach's chair with head coach Corey Mace. You'll hear from the boss ahead of a rescheduled kickoff of 7:45. But the air quality's not quite there yet for the teams to take to the field for warm-up. So we'll see where it's at in the next 15 minutes or so and pass along if there's any more further delay for tonight's kickoff between the Riders and the Stamps. So this is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.